All right, I'll go ahead and call this to order. This is Story County Board of Health. This is a special meeting today, May 3rd. And who just joined the call?
John Passion did.
Okay.
Welcome. Very good. Okay, I'm going to try to put you on speakerphone, okay?
Okay, good luck.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can hear you.
Oh, very good. Great.
Okay, so we've got a quorum for the Board of Health. All the members are present. And the only item before the board today is discussion and consideration of an order from the Board of Health to Brant Lehmer and Crestview Mobile Home Park. Is Margaret James? How you doing, Margaret? Just wanted to make sure you're here. I'm going to go ahead and read the order. This is an order of the Story County Board of Health. The Story County Board of Health, pursuant to Code of Iowa, Chapter 137, has a responsibility and authority to enforce the rules adopted in Chapter 55 of the Story County Court of Code of Ordinances necessary for the protection and improvement of public health. Identifying information. Facility, Crestview Mobile Home Park. Owner, Brant Lehmer. Address, 5615 Lincoln Way, Ames, Iowa. Nuisance. Local ordinance requires that any water supplied for human consumption, which is pathogenically or chemically unsafe, according to the latest Federal Environmental Protection Agency standards, is a nuisance. Specifically, Mr. Lehmer has failed to provide a continuous and safe potable water supply to the residents of Crestview. Order. The Board of Health issued an order on April 19th, 2016, directing Mr. Lehmer to 1. Provide a safe, continuous water supply for human consumption, and 2. To hire an Iowa licensed water operator to start at Crestview no later than April 26, 2016. Mr. Lehmer was further advised that failure to comply with the order may result in the closure of Crestview Mobile Home Park and that the residents may be required to vacate the premises in accordance with Story County Court of Ordinance 5509. Mr. Lehmer has failed to comply with the board's order. It is therefore the order of this board that Crestview Mobile Home Park is closed. The tenants will have 60 days to vacate the premises, and Crestview shall not be occupied again without the permission of the Board of Health. That is the order that's in front of the board. Board members, do you have any questions at this point?
This is John Passion. Is there anything in the order about saying that it won't be reopened until there are 3 consecutive safe samples, or is that just something that we're going to be watching?
I believe that can be a requirement from the board. It does state that that cannot be occupied again without the permission of the board, and that would be one of the requirements, that there be 3 continuous safe samples, or three consecutive samples.
Okay.
For bacteria and chlorine residuals.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Are there any members from the public that would like to speak on this matter before the board takes a vote on this order? If you would, I would ask you to come up here to this microphone at the desk here and state your name. Yes, right over here, sir.
My name is Derek Exner, Ames resident. I have been in this trailer court canvassing numerous times for...
Excuse me, I cannot hear him at all.
Okay. Is his microphone on?
Yes, 1, 2.
Why don't you do this? Come up here and sit right here next to me. That way the board members can hear you. And then I'm not going to be so lonely. Right over here. And if you would, just identify yourself again.
Yeah, Derek Exner, Ames resident. And as I said, I have canvassed in this trailer court. I've canvassed in bunch of trailer courts in Story County. And so I have some passing acquaintance with it, having seen the place and talked to quite a few of the residents. I think it's accurately described by this quote in the Ames Trib article, the last resort. It is. I understand that you have to make a determination based on the code and the science of it, but I think it needs to be kept in mind that as a last resort, it's a very important resort for people in Story County who don't have other options, and who are not going to be eligible if the site is taken over by the county, for instance, and turned into low-income housing, because they're not eligible for low-income housing. But they are contributing to our economy. In some cases, their kids are in our schools, and they're part of our community. So I don't know what the answer is, but please keep that in mind.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Brant, you can come up here and sit next to me if you would.
Good day. Brant Lanier, Crestview Mobile Park. I'll try not to take too long a time here. Crestview Mobile Home Park is a small, old mobile home park and has been under the same management for 13 years. Over all these years, Crestview has been permitted by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources to serve safe drinking water for human consumption and has always done so. If such wasn't true, Crestview would be under far worse scrutiny with the Iowa DNR, and boilers would have been issued much sooner than the 2015 water main break. Of course, it is common procedures to issue boil order after such. Within a short time after repair, Crestview's system was flushed and back to normal with lab tests for bacteria absent. But Iowa DNR has not lifted boil order until a certified operator by affidavit is hired and approved by the Iowa DNR, somewhat what we're here for today. And I'll try not to be too long. This is, again, I've stated before, this is not a water quality issue. This is a water quality compliance issue. Crestview is very proud of the results of lab testing over all the years of never having a bad sample. The bad samples that has been explained to us recently here have been referred to the chlorine residuals. These measure the amount of treatment in the water and if the residual levels are outside such perimeters. This doesn't necessarily mean water unsafe. In Ms. James' notes that you have heard on the April 19th meeting of residuals too high in areas and too low in others, there also at that same time was a sample taken, which was taken to the state hygienic lab from the same areas in those question areas and came back absent of any bacteria. This can get confusing and very easy to paint a bad picture. But bottom line is the facts are safe, potable drinking water is and always has been delivered to Crestview community, or as long as I can remember. And of course, we'll continue for such results. I sent an email response to Mr. Toot over the weekend here, I believe, with contact information on the facts so the Board of Health could have this firsthand information and try to calm down this storm that is spiraling out of control. Crestview tries hard every day to improve and will continue, of course, to improve water quality. One way is to lower down the stated 15 connections, which will eventually be in a centralized area. Maybe not initially, but eventually that's the goal. In this centralized area to maintain better control of these stated residual levels. And of course, continue search for a certain certified affidavit operator, which just recently found another prospect who lives in the close vicinity area, which has been the biggest hurdle to oversee the certified operator on a daily structure. There's numerous of them throughout the state, but on a daily proceedings, it's been that's been a tough stipulation on the compliance issue. This 15 connection is not just to get away from the IDNR regulation, because Crestview will still do proper testing and advisement from affidavit operators and technical support from Rural Water Association. Crestview today is still under advisement from Eric Lawrence and Dean Utemark, whom are certified affidavit operators approved by such the Iowa DNR, Department of Natural Resources. And if needed, Dale Berry, as mentioned, in the April 19th meeting and in email, he is the Iowa Rural Water Association technical support. Yesterday, Crestview delivered 60-day notices to tenants of Crestview Mobile Park, jeopardizing their stay in their home, which they own. Each home is owned by the individual. Crestview does not own any homes to rent. So this is affected. It is affecting 75 people in the west of Story County. Which I hope this notice, I hope to rescind and withdraw such notices as we work through this. At the same time, in delivering these notices, the media there and painting another bad picture. They, the media, did not put in the interviews of numerous tenants stating how they like such community at Crestview. Or my personal interview showing all lab results and other explanation of such boil advisory still in effect. And other facts. Crestview may not be long-lived anymore, but if and when it would be my decision to close such mobile home park, there will be a timely manner and better incentives than such incentives I heard so far. Please look at these facts in the big picture here and not just the bad picture that has been painted in the most recent. I don't want to waste much more of your time here on pointing out misconstrued facts. But if any questions that I can address at this time or in the future, thoughts, etc., please feel free anytime.
Thank you, Grant.
If needed, can I say a few words later, too, after such discussion? I'm not saying I need to. But
yeah, it's a public meeting if you think you need to, yeah. Is there anybody else that would like to speak?
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, I don't see anybody else moving to the mic. Is there any comments or questions from the... We have one more coming to the mic. If you just state your name for us, please.
My name is Greta Anderson, and I am part of the AMIS Affordable Housing Group. I just want to reiterate what Derek Exner said about the importance of finding an alternative for these folks who are being evicted if this closure of the mobile home park goes through. I think there are plenty of people in Story County who care about the future of these people enough that a coordinated kind of response to the whole situation could be devised rather than, you know, having one committee over here decide that this place has to be closed and then, you know, the whole concatenation of events leads these people to be homeless. I do believe there are plenty of alternatives that could be come up with if we put our heads together and made these people's livelihoods a priority, made their safety and especially the children's safety a priority, and not I want to know, you know, as a Story County resident, it's a great, great importance to me to know that something is going to be done before you have a plan for these people before you close the park.
Thank you, Greta. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Jan Flores coming to the mic.
Mm-hmm.
you state your name for us?
Yeah. I'm Jen Flora. I live at 1902 George Allen Avenue in Ames, and I'm with Amos. And I have three questions. One is, if the residents are evicted, are there any plans in place? And I realize it's not the Board of Health's purview to do this, but has there been consultation with other agencies in terms of provision of housing for
yes.
the people who would be evicted?
I would ask Deb Shildroth to come up. Deb, if you just want to come up here and sit on my right so the Board of Health can hear you, but she can answer that question for you, Jan. There has been some meetings that's taken place.
Good afternoon. Deb Shildroth, Director of External Operations and County Services. To respond to your question, Jan, Carla Webb with the County's Community Services Office and myself met with two churches and then three other organizations yesterday morning. We had opened it up for a larger group, but that is who showed up. We had Good Neighbor, Salvation Army, Vic Moss with ERP, and then St. Thomas Aquinas had a representative in Christ Community Church. And we talked about, I gave them some background information. A lot of those organizations have worked with the individuals who live at Crestview, so are familiar with who's there and the conditions. We've talked about the dollars that the Board of Supervisors had approved at their meeting last week in terms of relocation funds to help people with deposit, rent, those kinds of things. We also had a representative there from Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority, Marcy Connor, the director. And she talked about making applications available for folks to fill out for Section 8 housing vouchers, as well as CERHA's deposit program. So we'll have that information available. We've organized an informational meeting for next Tuesday the 10th from 4:30 to 6 p.m. For the Crestview residents, so we can talk about these options and start working on getting people signed up for those services. And I'm also talking with United Way in terms of dollars they may have available to flow down to some of the other agencies to help with this particular effort.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So if it were to be closed, if this order were supported, then they would have to move their trailers within 60 days from...
Well, that would be between them and the owner of the court. They just would not be able to occupy the trailer.
Oh, okay.
At the mobile home park.
Mm-hmm. So if it were then opened again, then they would have an option of returning.
And that, again, would be between the owner of the court and the particular tenant.
Well, the other question I had was for the other gentleman who presented. And do those 75 people that you have given an eviction order to, does that represent the entire population of the trailer court?
Yes.
Okay. So there was a report.
Hello, hi. Hi, this is John Passion calling. Sorry, I got disconnected.
That's okay.
I'm back online.
We're still here, John. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
There was a report in the Ames Tribune that the idea was to limit the number of people there so it would be below the... I can't remember if it was the IDNR regulation.
Yeah, if he has 15 or more hookups supplying water, then the DNR considers that to be a public water source and it comes under the jurisdiction of the DNR. If it's 15 or fewer, then he does not come under the jurisdiction of the DNR and it would be under the county's health department.
Okay.
Currently, he still has more than 15 hookups, so he's currently under the DNR's requirement, and one of those requirements was to have a certified water operator in his employ, and he has not been able to do that yet.
So if it were to go under the health department, then would they have similar kinds of regulations?
The requirement that the health department is going to have is that he have three consecutive tests to show that the water is clear from bacteria and chlorine residuals. If he can show that with three consecutive tests, then it would be my intent that the board would issue an order that he may reopen the court.
Okay, those were my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Margaret, James, come on up, Margaret.
Margaret James with the Story County Environmental Health Department Director. We're not doing this this is a very hard thing to do and a very difficult day. I've been inspecting this park for many, many years, and I just don't see that it's getting better, and I see conditions in addition to water quality creating an environment for the residents there that is unsafe. And while we are talking about water today, there are other issues that make this an unsafe environment for the folks living there. Yesterday, I got a call from Alliant Energy supporting the closure of the park because of the dangerous nature of the electrical hookups and the continually changing conditions of the electrical hookups. I personally have seen extension cords stretch from one trailer to another, providing electricity. I have observed sewage on the ground on many occasions. I have received numerous complaints over several years regarding sewage, water quality, water quantity, solid waste, burning, and also bringing in water and adding it in the dark of night, so secretively. So the water quality is a huge issue, but it's one issue of many. And I appreciate Amos's, your group coming here and talking today. This is very important for those people, and the Board of Health has really thought long and hard on this. And we think it's time to do something different.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak? We'll give you an opportunity here, Brian, just a minute. Okay. There's nobody else that's moving to the mic. I would ask the board again if they have any questions or any comments they would like to make before we vote on this order.
Okay. Paul.
Yes. Go ahead.
This is John Passion.
Yes.
Okay, I just have a couple of questions. We've been working with Crestview on this water issue for a long time, correct?
That's correct.
This is not a new thing, correct?
That is correct.
And the water is safe to drink at this time?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay, thank you.
He does not have a certified operator in his employ, and that's a requirement from the DNR.
Okay. I also kept hearing talk of that the certified water employer contractor needs to be there daily. Is that a requirement of the DNR also?
Yes. That at this time, that's what the DNR is requesting, that that the operator be on site on a daily basis.
Daily.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Any other comments from the board? We've got one more subject in the air, in the audience who would like to speak. If you'd come on up, please.
I did feel the need of a follow-up question to the person who has been arranging social services in the eventuality of this trailer park being closed. One might well ask me, why did I go canvassing in this trailer court? And I could have asked myself the same question, because it seemed like everyone I talked to was either an ex-felon or an immigrant lacking documentation. And so my question is, what of those arrangements would those people even be eligible for?
The funds that the county is providing for relocation expenses, we're not looking at the difference between documented and undocumented individuals, so that will not be an issue to access those funds. In talking with the executive director from the Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority yesterday, she said that they have been getting information on an annual basis in terms of fair housing standards and in lifting some of those more harsh regulations that have been held in the past in terms of somebody trying to access the Section 8 voucher. So they are really looking at what it is an individual has committed in terms of a crime, and being more flexible than they have been in the past. And so we felt that that's new information for us. We think it's good information, so that we will be working closely with those individuals and helping them apply for those certificates if that is what they wish to do.
That's somewhat encouraging, at least in terms of the felons. And while I guess an undocumented person might benefit from relocation help from you, I guess their problem is really getting a place that they can afford to live in. So that remains. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Brant, if you'd like to come back up.
Thanks, all, for having me back up here before I lose my train of thought on a couple of the comments made here. Again, thanks for everybody making these comments. To Ms. Jane's comments here, that's why I sent this email over the weekend here about the quality of water. And there is, Ms. Jane's is correct, there's other issues at Mobile Home Park. There's true. We got Story County treasurers, individuals here, and I need to get back on track on that end of it as well, on the pursuing of the transfer of ownerships of these homes. Understand that. Also, the way it physically looks out there, it's in the worst shape it's ever been. I would agree to that. Than I've under my own management. 2014, I made the mistake of taking in newer model homes from another mobile home park, trying to improve property, and I find that it's more than one man can handle, if you will, to keep the rent low at Crestview. I try to do everything under one management, one myself, and I find the older I get, I can't do that. So I'm still in the process of trying to clean up from some transition. So that is true. But back to the water quality, I have been very voiceful to Mr. Toot in past the phone conversations how I am very proud of the water, and there is not the water quality is as good as up to standards. I got a file folder here. Of course, you on the phone can't see this, but it's and this isn't from day one. This is just from back to 2008 to present of monthly and other special bacterial results and other testing for other perimeters, meaning organic chemicals and whatnot, throughout quarterly. There's quarterly in here. There's monthly. There has never been a bad sample of water. I can't stress that enough, and I sound like a broken record to some, but maybe not to the Board of Health, that these are done. I asked Mr. Toot in that email to please don't listen to me about this. Please contact the information given and find that. It should be public knowledge, I think, on there, or not public knowledge, but at least given knowledge over, you know, to requested individuals. So yeah, that's where we deal. And again, yes, there's been other complaints over the years Ms. James mentioned, and that is. And again, I sound like a broken record repeating myself, and every time that it's usually a tenant in making these complaints, a lot of times anonymous, we don't know for sure, but, you know, and I got dates to respond to, even court documents that the sheriff officers sitting here probably served such papers to tenants getting evicted that commit such complaints. It falls in that timeline. So, and normally each complaint, not always, I'm not saying, but normally each complaint falls in that guideline and names corresponded if they did leave such names. Again, I apologize to go on defending myself, if you will, but this is a very important issue, not just for myself, for the numerous tenants there. To answer John, I believe it was his question on the operator daily, that is the biggest stipulation, correct, on the compliance issue that I stated. Again, the Boyle advisory is still in effect today, and the last stipulation, as of after a week in place back in December 23rd when it was in place, before the first of the year, that would have been lifted if the one compliance, last compliance of a certified operator would have been provided. I had one almost hired right away, but the stipulation of the daily operations was... it's just hard to find such operators. There is operators locally, and I had the DNR was very helpful giving me a list of operators in the county, per county. But it's most of these operators have also a full-time job, and it being daily is hard to meet. There's been conversations from the DNR level that would possibly go down to a three-day, and that's what we're working on. But it's that's what we hope to oversee in the near future. So, I think that's all I had capped off to the top.
Okay.
And again, back to the Alliant with Ms. James, Alliant issue. That I think what they're referring to, and I've been, and again, Alliant's been patient with Crestview as well out there on some updates. They're referring to the certain areas, not the whole park, certain areas of the connections that are old, outdated utility poles at you know, even prior to the homes. But the good news is the area of the 15 connections, if we lower down to 15, it'd be in a more centralized area for help the water system. The old part of the park, which is the very south end, is where that would be eliminated. We wouldn't need the 15 connections wouldn't be there anymore, or electrical connections either. So they're in the same old bad area of water and electrical both. So that if we go down to 15 connections, we would move such homes away, and Alliant should be happy at that time as well.
Thank you, Brent. One more time around. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say? Okay. The fact
John
is...
John Kluge,
go ahead, John.
I'll call the question.
Okay. The question's been called, and I would look for a motion from one of the board members to approve this issuance of this order.
So moved, John Passion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by, was it Kluge?
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? I'll do a roll call. Kluge?
Yes.
Passion?
Yes.
Obink?
Yes.
Speck?
Yes.
Toot? Yes. The order has been approved by the board and will be issued today. Mr. Brandt, within any time within this 60-day period, if you can produce 3 consecutive samples that are clean, then the board will meet again and we'll review this.
Sure.
It's never been the intent of the board, either the Board of Health or the Board of Supervisors, to put you out of business or to close the park. But you have to supply water that's clean and safe for human consumption. And in the absence of an operator, which is one of your DNR rule regulations, the Board of Health has no way to prove or see proof that that water is clean and clear. So I'll leave it at that, and I would take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
That was
second.
And Kluge on the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And we're opposed. Thank you, everybody. Okay.